Hi, everybody. You know, I would think after a few months here, we would have learned to be a little more robust in our return of hi from me, okay? So, hi, everybody. Thank you. That encouragement helps me feel like I can preach at least for an hour. I appreciate you saying all that. I want to, before I get into the meat of the message, just mention two things. Chris and I were able last night to get here in time to come and attend the wonderful Christmas drama that was put on by your team here. And I want to congratulate them on an amazing ministry and thank them very much. It was amazing. Yeah. The second thing I'd like to mention is the spirit I felt today, and you all participated in worship time, and there was a prophetic element to it today that I think is important to note, that when we worship, we're not just singing a song to fill a room, and we're not even just singing to bless the Lord, but God also speaks to us. And I could sense, as well as all of you, that God was speaking through Rachel. And there was at one point I was going to say to her, would you please stop? I'm not going to have much left to say in my message. But I want to exhort you, when you come to worship, come with that expectation. You see, whenever we come to church, I believe that what expectations we come with are largely what we leave with. If we come with an expectation that God is going to speak. He's going to speak through worship. He's going to speak through the spoken word. He's going to speak through our fellowship. And we go away filled. And that was a wonderful, wonderful time in worship today. And I just thank God for it. And I thank the Holy Spirit for what he's saying and doing here today. Now, today we're going to this week and next week, and last week, Ben began the Christmas messages, and for the next 2 weeks, I get to be a part of that. And then in January, I'm actually going to go back to a couple more conversations with Jesus. There's just a couple I can't leave out. So we'll hit that again in January. But today, I want to talk to you about plans, how we make plans. How many of you have a lot of things planned for the holiday season, for Christmas and all that? You got a lot of plans. You got some plans? You are the most spontaneous group that I've ever seen, because most of you know, no idea at all. We make plans for our lives. And I, by my nature, I'm a planner. When it came time to think of retirement, I was planning for 3 years for our retirement. And I planned what it was going to take financially, how we would prepare our church, what we would do with ourselves after we retired, and we put all those plans in place. And then, see if you don't agree with me, the best plans you lay start to just change. You're going, what in the world? I made all these plans. There was this little thing came up called COVID that came right during the time that we were gonna announce to the church, you know, hey, in 6 months I'm going to retire. Well, guess what? The church wasn't even meeting. You don't want to just say that into a camera. You know, I'm going to retire. You know, that's not something you want to do. So we had to put that off. And then you folks came along. We were retired. And I still am, but I remember Pastor Lee from the network office called me one day, and he says, Todd, my good friend, and when anybody starts with kind of a little butter up, my good friend, you're going, oh, yeah. He said, you know, Tim's retiring or going to another phase in his life, and I was wondering about you helping out down at Medford, and I gave him a very quick answer, no. I said, I have plans. So then he called me back a couple weeks later. He says, I know you told me no. He said, but would you like to rethink that, you know? And I said, okay, you know, we'll rethink that with you. And then he says, I'm not trying to put pressure on you or make you think, you know, God told me. He says, but I don't have anybody else in mind. It was just like saying they need somebody in the worst way, and that's, you seem to fit the bill, the worst, you know. But for us, that change of plans has been such a huge blessing. It means so much to us to be able to be a part of what God is doing here now. In this moment, it's a moment that's going to pass. We believe God's at work to bring your permanent new pastor, but for us, it's just been a blessing. So the change of plans has been good. And maybe sometimes, well, thank you. Which brings me to tell you I'm going to retire. No, I'm only kidding. Maybe you get frustrated when plans change on you. Sometimes you just put everything in place. This is exactly the way it's going to be. This is where my life is going to be. I'm going to date this person and marry them. I'm going to get this education and get this job. I'm going to live in this place and do this. And it kind of reminds me of what James said to the church in his book. Just paraphrasing, he says, you know, we say things like, I'm going to go to this city, and I'm going to do this and this, and I'm going to make lots of money, and I'm going to do that there. And he says, we should say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do that. And it's not just a semantic thing we say, of, I'll always just throw in there if the Lord wills, because it's really true. God holds our plans in his hands. And maybe you're frustrated even today that some of the things that you wanted in your life, or some plans that you had laid, or the thought, or the way you thought you would be going, isn't actually the way it's going. Maybe you actually have a plan and it's working and it's taking you in the wrong direction. It's just the wrong plan. I have good news for you regarding plans. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says this: many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. His purpose is at work in your life. Where you are right now, and I don't just mean where you're sitting either at home or here in the church, but where you are positionally in your life, God's purpose is at work for you. Our plans are limited by our understanding, our vision, our faith, our obedience. We are limited in how we lay our plans and how we make them work, but God has a purpose for you that far exceeds your thoughts, your ability to map things out. His plan is tremendously bigger than all of us. And the outcome of our lives and the use of our lives, when he steps in and says, all right, we're going to have a change of plan, always means it's going to be better. Always. Now, Joseph and Mary had plans for their lives. Joseph was probably several years older than Mary. Mary was quite young. They went through the whole engagement process, and immediately they started mapping out plans for their lives. Joseph would say to her, Mary, we're going to have sons, and they're going to be carpenters. I'm a carpenter. My dad was a carpenter. My dad's dad was a carpenter. We're a long line of carpenters, and our sons are going to be carpenters. And she said, and we're going to make a lovely little home in up north in Galilee area, Nazareth. And we're going to have a gingham tablecloth, and we're going to decorate it a certain way. And you'll come home with the boys from the shop, and we'll have dinner, and we'll play games. And they had all these plans for their lives. We're going to live a quiet, steady, uninterrupted life up there when we get married. But there was a challenge and a change coming into their lives, and it's found in two books of the Bible. The book of Luke, we're going to go to the first chapter. The book of Matthew, we're going to go to the first chapter there. And it all starts with an interruption. And you can always tell when an interruption is coming into your plans. It just seems like the person talking to you, there's an interruption, and as soon as that interruption comes, you say, I'm not sure this is good. Now, everybody knows what it's like when somebody says, you know, we really need to talk. There's no husband on earth who looks forward to his wife saying, you know, honey, we really need to talk. There's never been a recorded conversation where it goes like this: sweetheart, we need to talk. And husband, sit down, what is it? You know, I've been thinking you really need to get a boat and put in the front of this house. You have a boat in front of the house. It's about time that you started fishing, you know? And how about converting that sewing room into a man cave. Let's do that, sweetheart. You know what? Those conversations don't go that way. When somebody says to you, we need to talk, we usually kind of steady ourselves like, okay, what's this mean? Look at the book of Luke, the first chapter, the 29th verse. An angel of the Lord appears to Mary, and she says to herself, this is not going to be easy. The Bible says she was greatly troubled at his words. He hadn't even said, he's just here. And she's going, uh-oh. She's troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting is this? What kind of talk are we about to have? Sometimes people start out talks like that with this word. You know, I'd like to talk to you about a great opportunity. You're saying, uh-oh, this opportunity is going to bring about change. God had a greater plan for Mary and Joseph than their little plan, and it begins with an impossible pregnancy. Look at the next verse. It's in verse number 31. The angel says, you're going to be with child and give birth to a son. You're going to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Talk about this is mind-blowing. Not only that's not the son I thought I was going to have, it's I didn't think I was going to be having a son. This is a huge change. It's not just a slight pivot of direction. It's amazingly different direction. Meanwhile, Joseph is getting a similar kind of experience. If you'll take your Bible, keep your finger in Luke, turn over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So independently, Joseph and Mary are receiving angelic visits that are saying, everything you thought about what you're going to do is going to be different because I have something in mind that's much greater. Can I just give you a word today that no matter what you may think your life has potential for, God has a plan for you that is much greater. Much greater. So much more possible. Now, there are three things today that I want you to jot down that Joseph and Mary's experience tells you. And tells us. And you know the story backwards and forwards, but I just want you to pick up these three things today. The first thing is that when God steps into our plans, that purpose is eternal. The purpose he wants to deal with in your life has to do with eternal things. Remember, the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. And he's talking here, he's working in areas that have to do with eternity. These things have an impact far beyond our moment. To Mary, he said, that your son is going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Talk about eternal. Your son is going to rule an eternal kingdom. He's going to go onto the throne and rule on David's throne forever. To Joseph, he said this. He said, she will give birth to a son, and you're given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So this son was going to have a throne that would last forever and have a work in people's lives personally to remove their sins and to save them from the consequences of their sinful lives. Joseph and Mary, what you thought you were going to do with your life, God is going to do something so much greater in such a huge scope that it far outlives you. They are long gone. Joseph and Mary went to heaven centuries ago. But the work that came through their lives continues in you today. It's eternal. The second thing is God's purpose exceeds our thinking and our abilities. For both of them, they needed to move forward in obedience to what God was saying. God wasn't just saying to Joseph, for instance, don't be afraid to take Mary. He was saying, you need to not only not be afraid to, but you need to finish this marriage proposal. You need to follow through and marry her. Look at some of the statements that are made. They're not going to appear on the screen, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary makes a very important statement. She says to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? It wasn't a statement of this is impossible. She was just asking, what are the mechanics for this? What are the things that are going to happen? What steps need to fall into place? That's a pretty good thing for us when God says, all right, we're going to take a change of direction, for us to simply respond, yes, tell me how we're going to accomplish it. How is this going to be? And the angel responds, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born to you will be called the Son of God. To Joseph, the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, because what is happening in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. God gives them an assuring word. He says, I want you all to remember, nothing is impossible for God. Would you turn to the person next to you today? Hopefully you're sitting close enough to say something to somebody. Turn to somebody right now, look them square in the eye and tell them this, nothing's impossible for God. Now say it back to the other person, come on. Let me ask you something today. What is impossible for God? What's impossible for God? Nothing's impossible for God. It's not impossible for God for Mary to have a baby. It's not impossible for you, Joseph, to love that son. It's not impossible for you to go through the social stigma that you're going to endure because of what's happening here. It's not impossible because you're not doing it alone. This is God's work. And nothing's impossible when God is at work in our lives. So what did God want from this couple? Just one simple thing, obedience. He just wanted them to obey. He said, believe in me, walk in obedience. Mary's response to the angel is found in verse 38. She says this, may it be to me as you have said. She simply said, yes. Yes, may it be to me as you have said. And Joseph had a similar response when he woke up. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 24 of Matthew, he did what the angel had commanded him. He did. He followed through. Whatever the challenge, whatever is in your life, whatever God gives you as an assignment, whatever changes come, remember this, God's purpose is always accompanied with his power. When he gives you a purpose to live out, it comes with his power. His enablement always comes with his assignment. We aren't doing this on our own. God doesn't say, well, now that I've told you what to do, I'm going to stand back and see how you handle it. No, God is involved with us in it. Now, we're always asking each other at this time of year, if you're in family and you're in a gift-giving relationship with somebody, you're always saying, what do you want for Christmas? Right? And in our family, that's kind of it's like pulling teeth to get that from some of our family members. What do you want for Christmas? And I know I'm one of the worst because I've figured something out. I'm at that age where all the stuff I need, I got. And so people say, what do you want? And I'm kind of going, I don't know. And it usually comes out to be something, you know, something not that important that I probably could have gone out and gotten anyway. And so we find ourselves kind of struggling with that question, what do you want for Christmas? But the God who possesses everything asks for one thing only. And what he is asking from us is that we trust and obey him, even when the way is unclear or when it's confusing, that he would say, that we would simply say to him, I'm going to walk with you even though I have limited sight. Even though I have never been this way before, and I don't even know anybody who's done it like this before, I'm still going to trust you and go with you. Now, there's an example in the Old Testament of God showing his way to a group of people, and it's found in Jeremiah chapter 29, and I'd like you to turn there. Okay? We're kind of already rounding the corner toward finishing this up. But you got to look at Jeremiah 29 to understand what happens to a people when they're going through a challenging time of change of plans. Now, these people in Jeremiah 29, we're going to start with verse 4, had a very disruptive change in their lives. They had been taken from Jerusalem and taken away to Babylon as captives. And verse number 4 says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those who I carried away
into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. God had a word here for three kinds of people. And we find ourselves in these situations in our walk. And this is the instructive part that I want you to understand on how to respond to change in our lives. First of all, there are times in our lives, there are people whose circumstances are draining their hope. You may be in a circumstance right now where you say, this is the season of hope, this is the season of believe and all those things, but right now, my hope seems to be rather drained. And in chapter 29, verse number 5 through 7, this is what God has to say to these people whose hopes were drained. They were sitting there in Babylon wondering, what am I supposed to do with myself here in this foreign country? And there's a word here given that's kind of unusual, because God says to them, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So here is a word for people who would say, I am so frustrated. In this moment, I feel like all my hope is drained. And that's very common when suddenly everything changes for you. You were going to do it one way, and it seems like that's all going away. It's being swept away, and now you're in another situation. And we're suddenly just really, really got to make something happen, got to move. And God said to these people, you need to settle down. You need to wait patiently. You need to prosper in the moment that you're in. Pray for the city that you're in, that it prospers. If it prospers, you'll prosper. Learn to be content in that moment. And this is an important word for us. Don't give up on the moment. God wants to prosper you where you are now, even if it is not the ultimate end that you know you're heading for. Don't lose the opportunity for today. Right now, this church is looking forward with a high expectation for the new leadership of a new pastor to come and all that's ahead. But I remember one of the first days I ever met Pastor Roger, he said something that resonates with me. He said, we're going to pray that God not use this time that we're in, this season that we're in, as an okay time. We're going to pray that this will be a great time. Amen. This will be a great time for the church. And one of the wonderful things I see in the character of this body of believers is that very thing, that you're not just going, oh, come on, we need to get our new pastor, we need things to happen. No, let's be blessed now with where we're at and let God work now, because if we will do so, he'll bless this time now. He was telling them to occupy in prayerful obedience right now. And he said, I can bless you where you're at today. You might not be in the job you really want. You may be frustrated in your education. You may have had a relationship that has fallen through. You may have recently gone through divorce. There could be some awful things that you may have just gone through or that you're in the middle of. Instead of chafing and letting anger and frustration rule your life, let God bless you now. Be blessed in the moment you're in. The second group of people that Jeremiah spoke to are people who create and trust in human hope. People who create and trust in human hope. In verse 8 and 9, the scripture says, do not let the peoples and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Notice something. These false prophets were giving the people the words they wanted to hear. He said, you're encouraging these false prophets to give you some false hopes. And here's what these false prophets were saying. They were saying, thus saith the Lord, I've heard from the Lord, we're about to head home. Nobody unpack. Nobody get settled in. Don't listen to what Jeremiah just said, because the Lord just told me that we're heading home. Just any day now, we're going to be heading home. Well, the word of the Lord was they were going to spend 70 years there. And this was a false word coming to people. And it would only lead to frustration. God was saying, don't construct human solutions to solve a spiritual problem. Don't take on a human solution. We like to create happy talk. Hey, it's all going to be great. It's all going to be over next week. I remember when COVID hit, I was told that it was only 14 days and we'd be right back to normal. I don't remember where I heard that, but I heard that. And I told the leaders at the church, hey, folks, 2 weeks, we're going to have video services only. We'll be right back to normal. This is all going away in 2 weeks. And we were all just happy talk. That wasn't true. Instead, we learned, let's be blessed in the moment we're in from what we just saw in the first principle. But we create happy talk and make promises to ourselves and from others that aren't from God. We just want people to feel good. I like watching TV cop shows. And my wife and I will always just look at each other when this is said. Don't worry, ma'am. I promise you I'm going to get the dirt bag who stole your dog. I stole your dog is the worst crime I wanted to mention at church. Okay. Don't worry, ma'am. I'm going to get the guy who did this. I promise you. And we look at each other and we say, only on TV can a cop promise you that they're going to get the person who did this to you. And we need to look to get our promises and our hope and our assurance from the Lord, not from what people may say. The third word God has is this, that God, people who possess God's hope, he says, that's where real hope. We need to possess God's hope. 29:11, everybody knows this scripture, but they lift it out of the context often. And here's what the scripture says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Look at me. God has a plan. He has always had a plan, and his plan will never fail. He says, I have a plan for you. A plan to prosper, hope, and a future. We need to step into trusting God in his plan when our plans change. His purpose will prevail. The key is found in the next verse on how to experience that hope and that plan. He says, then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. When your plans have been turned upside down, when your life has taken a turn you never expected, when you have that Joseph and Mary moment where you go, wait a minute, we were going to live it this way. This is how we were going to live out our lives. This is how I was going to go until I died. This was going to be it. And when God says, no, it's going to be a different way, then he says, and now, more than ever in your life, you need to seek me. You need to look for me. You need to do that, because when you do that, I will meet you. You will find me, and we will walk through this to the blessing that we have ahead. Today, now, at Christmas, the greatest thing you can do is begin to seek God. Find him, because he will make himself known. And you will understand that plan for your life. God's plan for us is superior to our own plan. Many people know this scripture. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. I want you to look at that in the Amplified Bible with me, because it gives it so much more depth. It'll appear on the screen. It says, he, by the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. I am a pretty big dreamer. I can think of some pretty amazing ideas. But then to think that God's plan, his dreams, his ideas make mine miniature. They so outstrip mine. They so outgrow mine. They go so far beyond. Whatever you thought your life was about, whatever accomplishments you hoped to come to, whatever you thought you would be doing with your life, when you yield yourself to God, his plan for you dwarfs what you had in mind. It's so much bigger than our imaginations. And if you're frustrated today, remember, God is at work right now on your behalf. Today, he's working for you. There's a familiar scripture, another familiar one, that says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. You're acquainted with that one? I want to read it to you from something called the Wiest translation. Wiest is a New Testament translation from the original language. So sometimes it reads a little difficult because of the translation, but it's the most accurate translation probably you can find. Here's what Wiest says. We know with an absolute knowledge, for those who are loving God, all things are working together, resulting in good. For those who are divinely summoned ones, according to his purpose. We're divinely summoned. Like Mary, the angel came and welcomed her, brought her into this new experience. Like Joseph, who saw that vision, we are summoned to him. Back to that meeting with Mary, when the angel came, he said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Highly favored. My desire for you today is that you experience the high favor of God. The high favor. Not just the permissive will, not just, well, we can get by at this level, but this angel, when he saw Mary, I want you to imagine this for a second, that God said to this angel, I want you to go down and see Mary, and I want you to give her this message, and the angel says, "Father, what's this about? Lord, what's this about?" And he lays it out for the angel. This is what's going to happen with Mary. He tells the angel about Jesus coming, about the Immaculate Conception, the birth of Christ, and all that was ahead. And the angel exclaims, "She's highly favored." And so when he comes to her, he can't hold it in. "Greetings, you are highly favored." And today, I want you to experience and to live in the high favor of God, because God has a purpose for you. And he is bringing a word to you today to say, you can step into the high favor of God. It'll change your plans. It'll take a new direction. But you will experience more than you ever thought was possible in your life. The high favor comes with challenges that require faith and obedience. But that high favor will make you, like Mary, into a holy vessel for God. It will make you like Joseph, a man of great faith and a man of action who can hear the word of the Lord and say, "Now you got to get out of town. You got to go to Egypt. Now you can come home." He heard God and he acted upon it. Today, being a part of God's marvelous plan will exceed your limited thinking and abilities. He's just asking for that one thing, that one response. The response that Mary gave, "May it be to me as you have said." Whatever you have in mind, Lord, release it and let it go. So here's four steps for you today that might help you remember these. Actually, three steps. You can jot this down. Believe the word of God. Be used by the Spirit of God. And accomplish the will of God. When you do those things, you will step into that high favor. Think of what will happen in your life as you abandon the little thinking that our plans are made of and step into the unlimited planning of God, the purpose of God. Mary and Joseph's good but limited plan to raise their family, live a quiet life, teach our son to be a carpenter, and have them take care of us in our old age, that was limited. But there was a God-sized plan for them. Experience a miracle birth. Give birth to the Messiah. See him do his miracles. Bring the king to the throne and see him rise from the dead. So much bigger. Today, I'd like to have you join me in saying yes to God's plans for your life. There's a scripture as we conclude today from Proverbs 16:3 I want you to look at with me. It simply says this: commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I looked up the Hebrew word for the word commit, and it's got a very interesting word. It means, commit me is the Hebrew word galah, and it means to roll. When you commit your plans, you are literally rolling with God. Would you roll with God today? That says, when God says time to move, I'll just roll. When God says time to change direction, I'll roll. I'll roll with God. And what a wonderful concept. My life is a fluid experience with God of just rolling forward with what God has, what he has in store, what his plan is for me. Would you stand up with me today? I would like every person today who would say to the Lord, I'm ready to roll with you, to just shut your eyes. We're not going to come forward or anything today, but I just want you to shut your eyes. I'm going to ask you today, every person who would say, I'm going to roll with God, I just want you to lift both hands up to him and say, here I am. You're going to find here within me a man, a woman, a student who's ready to roll with God. And for every person who today would say, but my I'm going through frustration. It seems like I've been sitting still for too long. For every person to say, well, I thought I was moving and now it's like going another direction. For another person to say, I don't have any kind of plan. I don't know. I don't have any kind of thought about what the future is. It's just I'm listless in my plan. I would like every person whose hands are up today to say, but Lord, I am ready to roll with you. And you're going to find an amazing thing happens because God is going to begin to bring things into your life. He's going to begin to speak. You're going to suddenly see circumstances come up. Something's going to happen. You're going to have a visitation of the Holy Spirit in your life as you roll with God. So I'm going to pray for you, every person whose hands are up now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every person whose hands are now raised who are saying, I'm ready to roll with God. I'm going to commit myself to his direction, his plan, his speed for things. When he says to wait, I'll wait. When he says to move, I'll move. When he says to turn, I'll turn. When he says to start thinking in a bigger way than I've ever thought possible, I'm going to think in a bigger way. When he ever says, hey, you're getting ahead of me, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to roll with God. And Lord, I pray today over this congregation that the Holy Spirit would release amazing miracles as we do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody who believes that, begin to applaud to the Lord. All right, let's just praise him today. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. We will roll with you. I'm going to ask you not to be seated because Roger's going to lead you in worship. But I want, while we're still standing here, I want you to imagine some things with me right now. How can this possibly, from this moment on, change your relationships? How, from this moment on, might this change what you think of as your effectiveness in life? How will this change maybe your workplace or your family? And as a church coming together says, we're going to roll with God. Think how the Holy Spirit is going to be able to bring more favor on this church than ever before because we say we're ready to roll forward with God. How will this bless your new pastor when he comes? When people as a body are saying, Pastor, wherever you take us, wherever you lead us, we believe you're hearing from God and we're going to roll with God with you. I believe that God is about to do a great thing in your life and in Medford as we roll with him. Amen? Come on, let's say it again. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.